This is Bigger Than the Game with Jeremy Dove and Jose Ruiz.
Welcome to another episode of Bigger Than the Game with Jeremy and Jose. I'm Jeremy Dove. I'm joined by my tag team partner, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jose Ruiz. What's going on, bro?
Jeremy, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. And, you know, June 11th, a few days ago, was a special day, a special anniversary. 40 years since a fight that I'm kind of surprised a little bit. People have been giving it a little more just due than I thought it would even get.
Right, so am I.
But it still is not getting the enough attention that I think it really should be talked about. And that's why Bigger Than the Game, we're going to bring it on home for everybody and really talk about this epic fight, Larry Holmes versus Jerry Cooney, the 40th anniversary of this heavyweight bout.
Right, there's some people talking about it, but the magnitude of this fight is definitely something that's lacking right now, you know. And again, you mentioned it. That's what we do here at Bigger Than the Game. We bring stuff. We connect past to the present. We bring some stuff up back to life, you know what I mean. And definitely this fight here needs to be talked about a whole lot more for many reasons.
And to me, you know, Jose, there's a couple things that there's a lot of things you could talk about, but the two biggest for me is the fact of how grossly underrated Larry Holmes was and continues to be as an overall fighter, as a heavyweight, however you want to classify it, but also the idea of the Great White Hope with Jerry Cooney and the fact that, you know, over the past few years, people talking about shut up and dribble. They don't want to bring these topics in, and I just want to watch sports and I want an escape. And what we've been saying, you know, you can check our archives from day one, that as much as we love sports, always have and always will, that's a lie. And that's just choosing to pick the narrative when you want to choose it. But sports and social issues have always been intertwined.
Exactly. And, you know, that can also, we've seen it throughout sports history, right? Like the, you know, whichever, it doesn't matter what sport, like whatever sport it is, you have guys that embrace that and really talk about some of that stuff. And, you know, some of those players, boxers, whoever they are, coaches, pay the price for doing that, you know. And then there's some who shy away from that. And it's all about the brand, right? And, you know, and whatever happens with them happens with them. And again, like this, a fight like this where, you know, you mentioned like the Great White Hope and you talked about how grossly underrated Larry Holmes is, you know, it was to me, it's like the even the flip side of it, how extremely like overrated Jerry Cooney is, you know, especially at this time and like, you know, still to this day. And, you know, people, I remember I had a conversation with a friend of mine. I know we talked about doing this show a long time. And, you know, I had a conversation with a buddy of mine, big boxing fan. And I was like, yeah, we're going to do a rewatch of the, you know, Jerry Cooney, Larry Holmes fight. And he was like, oh, I remember. He was an older guy. He was like, oh, I remember that fight. He's like, I knew Jerry Cooney was going to get his ass whooped, you know. And it's like, but no, at this moment, and we'll see it. We'll talk about it throughout. Like how this crowd was, you know, pro Jerry Cooney. Like it's incredible to see this. But again, like I think to your point, the greatness of Larry Holmes is overshadowed a lot by everything that happened with this fight.
Right. And, you know, the interesting part with a lot of this is the Great White Hope really goes to boxing, but it goes to all sports. But, you know, it goes back to Jack Johnson.
Yep.
So back in the early part of the 20th century, that term was thrown out there. Jim Jeffries, you got to get the heavyweight championship back with the Great White Hope. And it's gone on for so many people, so many fighters. You know, we did our Eddie Murphy episode, check the archives.
Check them.
And we talk about Coming to America and Eddie Murphy. They're in the barbershop and he plays the old Jewish man and, you know, Rocky Marciano.
And if you listen to this episode, you hear me say this all the time. But go ahead there.
Rocky Marciano, you know, and there's always the banking of that great white heavyweight and really that great white athlete because, you know, our last watch along we did on our YouTube channel was the 87 NBA Finals, Lakers Celtics, and Larry Bird. Now, he backed it up, but what was he for the NBA? Right. The Great White Hope.
Yeah.
You know, and you look at what Duke basketball, Great White Hope, you know, and all these players. You see even now J.J. Redick's on ESPN. You know, he was a Great White Hope. It continues to go into this day. Tim Tebow, what was he? Great White Hope. But, you know, people didn't want to see other things, and they want to see the Colin Kaepernick kneeling or other, and it's like, or LeBron talk about stuff now, and it's like, I'm getting tired of that. I don't want to see that. But, you know, you look at guys like us, people of color, that's what we're dealing with all the time. Yeah, that's putting our face, right. But that's okay because that's supposed to be what the norm is. But it's important to talk about, no, these issues have always gone on. And, you know, so much was going into this fight where Jerry Cooney really, and it's funny, you look back, like you said, how there was really no chance for him. But the fact that so many things, Jose, he's coming in getting the same purse as the champion.
It's incredible. Some of the stuff that was going on.
You know, the coverage he's on with Sly Stallone, you know, Rocky, you know.
Yeah, he's on two magazine covers. Like, why?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's insane. And then I give Don King is Don King, right? But he knew what to do with this fight. Like, he knew exactly how to push this fight. Like, you know, he's all like Irish down. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the thing that also brought this out to me when I was younger was the movie Great White Hype.
Mm-hmm. Damon Wayans.
And it's like, yeah, with Damon Wayans and Samuel L. Jackson. Like, it's a comedy, but it's very true.
It's based off of this fight, really.
Exactly. And it's like, you know, you look at it where it's like you have a guy, you know, if you look at that, right, he's like, man, this guy has a really good
record.
He's
25-0, number one, 22 KOs.
Yeah, number one ranked contender, and it's like, oh, this guy's got to be a really good fighter. But, you know, once you start looking at it, in hindsight, is obviously something different. But once you start looking at those opponents, man, they were really carefully picked for him. And, you know, coming into this fight, he knew, like, this was, like, another type of league right here. And he knew it.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Don King was representing Larry Holmes at the time. And you have Dennis Rappaport was representing Jerry Cooney. And Dennis Rappaport was just as guilty as Don, you know, Don King, black, Dennis Rappaport, white, and went into it and played into the racial divide. And, you know, they had shirts for, you know, around Vegas with, you know, Jerry Cooney, not the white guy, but the right guy. And, you know, he's going to bring this title back for America. Those were the terms that were being used for the buildup. And the racial buildup was so bad that Larry Holmes had to move his family out of their home in Easton, PA for their safety. And he winds up having Reverend Jesse Jackson here to kind of help, you know, quarrel down like some of the tension. Because if you ask people who were there, writers and broadcasters, the week leading up to the fight in Vegas was very tense, very nasty, very racially divided. And it wasn't even hidden.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy. You know, they had FBI agent snipers in the stadium, like, you know, because they both fighters, but mainly Larry Holmes was getting a lot of death threats. And, you know, like, imagine fighting under that type of pressure, you know. And the thing is, like, both of the fighters were not about that race stuff. Jerry Cooney, the same thing. Like, he wasn't pushing that race thing, you know. It was, again, like you talked about, his promotion team, Don King, because, again, like, especially Don King, all he saw was dollar signs, which, you know, these guys got paid, you know, and Don King got paid too handsomely. So it's, I mean, but again, like we saw it with, you know, with like Trump running for presidency, like the one thing that's going to always spark like conversation or whatever you want to call it is if you tug on this race card, and it's going to happen throughout history. It's not going to stop now. Yeah, obviously, we're talking about this is 1982. Like, we can still have the same conversation today. We're going to still have the same conversation in 20 years. I think we talked about this during when we did our George Floyd episode, where it's sometimes for me, like, it's really like defeating, you know what I'm saying? Like, understanding that this was 40 years ago and it's the same shit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing really
has changed. Look at that was an exhibition, that wasn't a boxing match, but the Mayweather McGregor. the same thing. Right. Same thing, using the racial lines. It was all that. And you're looking at Larry Holmes, who it's a shame because he's coming into this time, and we've done episodes with boxing on the 80s, which I think is the best decade in boxing history is the 1980s.
All around.
But look at what we look at. The Four Kings. We look at Mike Tyson's run at the mid to late 80s. We look, you know, from Hector Macho Camacho and, you know, Alexis Arguello.
Cesar Chavez.
Julio Cesar Chavez. But Larry Holmes gets left out all the time. And we have his run, to me, more impressive than what Mike Tyson did in the heavyweight division.
Exactly. I agree with
you know, not as exciting, but much more impressive is what Larry Holmes did. And people leave that out who, you know, I think had the almost impossible task of following the most charismatic figure in sports history, Muhammad Ali, as that heavyweight champion. You know, he was in a losing situation.
Right. And he was a sandwich between Ali and Tyson, you know. But this is very interesting right here, Jeremy. You know, normally the heavyweight or the champion is introduced second, right? And again, like, this is something that, you know, I when I'm doing research, I don't watch we do the watch ones. I try not to watch it. I've seen this fight before, don't get me wrong, but it was very interesting, like, understanding that, like, wait a minute, like, why is the challenger being introduced second, which never happens in the title fight? And again, it happened in this fight,
right?
There's so many eye-opening moments.
The introduction, I remember, what I did not know until research recently was that Ronald Reagan had a telephone installed in Jerry Cooney's dressing room so he could call him if he won the fight. Did not have it for Larry Holmes, but just for Jerry Cooney.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. And you know, we read an amazing article. I know I read one earlier.
Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Hawk.
Dr. Hawk on Twitter, man. That article was amazing. A lot of insight into this. So if you get a moment, you can go jump on our Twitter page at Bigger Game Pod. We posted that article. So if you get a minute, it's a great read.
And it's those that divide that constantly has been happening. And it's funny though, like, no one wants to talk about that. Politics getting involved. No. Why did Ronald Reagan want to call Jerry Cooney if he won? Because he brought the title back for America. And those things that people don't want to admit, don't want to talk about. And, hey, sports is just an escape. But obviously it's not. And it never has been.
No. And, again, this is 40 years ago. And a lot of the same stuff can be still talked about. But yeah, that was very interesting. I thought that was fitting also, but very interesting.
And so, you know, the fight is underway, and, you know, you have Jerry Cooney, who had a big I think smart business-wise, awful for as far as a fight, but he had gotten a dominant win about 13 months earlier over Ken Norton. Ken Norton, a great heavyweight, but he was past his prime.
Yeah, Ken Norton, a couple years before that, would have whooped his ass.
Absolutely. But Jerry Cooney, I mean, did destroy him. If you watch that, it's what, 54 seconds?
He should have been disqualified.
It was bad. The referee had a history of not stopping fights, like letting them go on way too long. Ken Norton winds up retiring after that fight. And honestly, I'm glad more damage wasn't done to him.
Right. If you have not seen that fight, again, like Jeremy talked about, it's only one round, but it's a brutal knockout. And it's not like, you know, he hit Ken Norton with a hook or something, and it was just a brutal, like, knockout that way. It was more of like, you know, again, I'm not going to try to spoil it, but he looked like he was down and on one knee, and Cooney hit him with like another four piece, man. It was just brutal, 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 man. I remember watching that. I was like, man, that's ugly, man. That's an ugly knockout.
It was tough. And you look at it. So after that, they kind of hot Jerry Cooney's number one contender, and they kind of don't fight him for those 13 months. Now, Jerry Cooney says if he would have he thinks he maybe could have won this fight if he had three or four more fights in between this. I think, hell no.
Yeah, he can say that all he wants, you know, but we all know that's it's definitely not factual, you know. Yeah, like, not being as busy definitely hurt him, you know, but he could have fought 40 times.
Yeah.
He wasn't winning this
fight. And also, you know, Jerry Cooney is about, he's 6'6", 225. You know, he technically is a southpaw, but they trained him to fight orthodox.
Yeah, he was like that new breed of heavyweight, you know. Again, like, you know, Holmes is not a small guy either, you know, 6'3", I think 212 or something mm-hmm. like that. But, you know, like, now we're starting to see, like, now we look at heavyweights now, they're all 6'6", you know, and up, you know. So, again, Jerry Cooney was like that newer breed of heavyweight coming in, really, really big dude. But as you can see in this, at the end of that round, you know, hand speed was not his thing, and he was throwing them lazy hooks, and Holmes caught him with a right hand at the end there. So he's like getting his timing down already, and it's the end of the first round.
Well, Larry Holmes, you know, threw what many people consider probably the best jab. It's up there. Rushmore of best jabs, and not just heavyweight boxing history, but boxing history. Larry Holmes. Right. And really underrated. One of the top, like, just scientific fighters of all time. What Larry Holmes would just dissect you in the ring. And obviously that's not the charisma, the excitement, especially for the heavyweight division. You want the knockout guy. But if you're respecting the sweet science, Larry Holmes is someone, like, if you want to watch a great heavyweight, he's one of the first guys, I think, put on his tape and watch him go to work on someone.
Right. Like, it's more – boxing obviously is more – you want to knock somebody out, but, you know, there is a sweet science to it. And he's, you know, he's moving beautifully, man. Like, you know, using his angles. Now he's, like, playing with Cooney now at this point. But, you know, just smacking him with that jab. And Cooney had a history of, you know, like, cutting easily. And, you know, they were talking about in the first round, his face is already getting red. And again, like, Holmes hit him with a couple power shots, but it was all – he was just sticking that jab right in his face, sticking it right in his belly, just like that, you know. And sticking a jab in somebody's belly, that just stops you from all movement. You know what I mean? Like, if you're moving forward, you get hit with that jab right in your gut, man, that's, you're going to stop. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and again, like, you know, Cooney would throw a couple shots, a couple hooks, and Holmes was timing that left hook. And he, if he was waiting for that lazy one, he was going to catch him with that counter right.
Well, Larry Holmes, you know, as an amateur, sparred for Ali, for Frazier, Ernie Shavers. And if you look at Larry Holmes' career, especially in this run, you know, he's champion from 78 to 85, has about 20 title defenses. And you look at him, you can see parts of Ali in his game. You see parts of Ernie Shavers in his game a little bit. And also you see Larry, you know, put that stuff together but did things on his own. And a big thing he liked to do is he would kind of have his hands lower and lure that opponent in, and he could, with that, like you said earlier, that great footwork, he would always do that quick Ali step back, and that opponent would kind of miss it, and he countered with that right overhand to kind of get him. And he kind of got that from, you watch a lot of Ali tapes, Ali does the same thing. But Larry Holmes had, you know, those tricks of the trade. If you hear, you know, who he sparred against, it's not a surprise why he was such a great heavyweight.
Right, and that famous right-hand counter is like, famously, we watched that Foreman Ali fight when, you know, and when he dropped Foreman, and it's like, now, like, bam, he lands that right hand, and it's,
that's a second round knockdown already for him.
Already, and he's not even like really pressuring him at all. Like, he's just hitting him with the jab, and he's just finally followed up with the right. And it's the first real, like, it's like one of the first right powerful right hands that he hit him with, and, you know, we see what happens.
Let me ask you,
and he got 26 seconds left.
Jose, too, so. Do you think Larry Holmes, because he kind of lets it go here, he doesn't really attack him for these last 20 seconds. Do you think that was right on, like, looking back, obviously, but do you think Larry should have gone in for the kill more, or do you think he played it smooth?
No, I would have, you know what I mean? But that was another knock on Holmes, was like, you know, he would have guys hurt, and he wouldn't go for that kill, you know what I mean? And that was, again, like, something people really knocked him for. But now, at this point, I don't know if he knows, like, this guy is not going to beat me, you know what I'm saying? So I can take my time with this, and he just wants to whoop his ass, or, you know, this is just the way he is. But beautiful right hand, man. Like,
Yeah, nice, I feel like he knows Jerry Cooney just has a big hand.
Right.
And
that big left.
Yeah, that's all he's got. And he didn't, I think he realizes Jerry, to his credit, did pop up quick. He didn't like stay on the ground long. Like, I wonder if Jerry possumed a little bit, and who knows what Larry would have did, but Jerry got up.
Yeah, he respected that power. Like, I definitely agree with you with that.
Look at that.
Man, he had that fake jab to the stomach and just. But he, if he would have jumped on it, I think if it was the middle of the round, he would have had another opportunity to stop him this round. But again, with 26 seconds left, and I agree, like, I think he does respect Cooney's power because he does have some power. You know what I mean? Like, and.
And the last time we saw Cooney was him demolishing Ken Norton. It was, you know, right, a year before, but that was the last that anyone had seen of him. Because they were, you know, hiding him out and kind of putting him on magazine right, covers and everything like that. But
yeah, I think in the last 2 years, like dating on this fight, I think he fought like 3 rounds or something like that. They said during the fight, it was something crazy, you know, and a lot of like was not working a lot. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And to come in and to be that inactive and to come in like. To be number one contender and to get this opportunity here, it's again like it speaks to what we were talking about earlier. It's more of like they wanted to elevate Jerry Cooney as soon as possible to get him to fight Larry Holmes because again they knew that payday what that payday was going to be like.
It's really you see that the lumbering like 6'6" for Jerry and he just looks like just an awkward fighter.
Right,
and
he does, yeah.
I kind of just wonder. I don't know. It's that weird thing that society had with, like, lefties, which I think is not as bad now. It's still a little bit there, honestly. But, like, it's like, well, I don't know. I wonder what he would have been like if you just let him fight a little more southpaw.
Right, right. And, you know, he'd stick that left jab right in somebody's face with that because – what they were talking about, Cooney's jab is a good jab as well. It's nothing compared to like Larry Holmes, but you know, it's I guess they were trying to hype this guy up, man, you know, and you know, you could look at him, man. He's not sharp at all. Like, you know, there he landed a nice little combination, but you know, Holmes is keeping him in the outside and what I want everybody also watching this with us, it's like keep all this in mind, right? Because another storyline that we'll talk about later on, it's like the judges scoring cards. But just look at, we're watching this fight. And it's like, Holmes has this fight in control. That was another right hand by Cooney there. But Holmes is in total control of this fight.
Yeah. Total control. And I give Cooney, for someone who was clearly outclassed, he showed heart. But It's the thing that we see that wind up, to me, killing boxing, at least for Americans later on, is that you look at these judges and you go, what are you looking at?
Right.
And I'm not saying being a judge of a fight, you can say boxing or MMA is easy. It's not an easy thing. But when you have these outlandish, outrageous things, and we'll get into it later, but if you're like Jose said, if you're watching or you know, listening, Jerry Cooney's clearly outclassed here. And the fact that the scorecards were where they were toward the end of this fight is insane.
Right. And then, you know, you look at that stat there. Larry Holmes has knocked out 10 of his last 11 opponents. Another knock on Holmes that he didn't have power, which I don't understand that. He's got, you know, at this fight, he's 39-0 with 29 knockouts. That's power to me. You know, you're knocking almost every opponent out. Yeah, there was a lot of knocks on Larry Holmes, but he's definitely, to me, a top five heavyweight of all time.
Right.
I know you're a big fan of him there.
I am. I am because I think he just was just greatness for that length of time.
Right.
And, you know, from 78 to 85, and I think so many fight fans, I will put boxing and, like, UFC together. We look at just that wow factor, the knockout factor, and we don't break down the styles. Which, you know, that's the fun part about breaking down fights is the styles and, you know, who will match up well with who. And, you know, years later, Holmes winds up fighting Tyson after one of his retirements, And he actually goes a few rounds with Mike, and Mike's in his prime, and Mike knocks him out. And I remember Mike even saying after, if he would have fought him in his prime, I don't know if I would have won it. And to me, there's no question, if you give a prime Mike Tyson against a prime Larry Holmes all day.
Yeah, it'll be what Buster Douglas did, in my opinion. You know, and look, everybody, I think, is a Tyson fan, you know. But again, like, we have to understand, and that's what we're trying to do here with this episode, is, like, help you understand, like, the greatness of this fighter, man. It's like, if you want to compare that, it would be what Buster Douglas did to Mike Tyson in Tokyo.
And a lot smoother, you know, honestly.
And a lot smoother, you know, and probably would have ended that a little sooner.
I think a lot sooner.
You know, but, right, and it's just, like, that's how great this. He would have kept Mike away with that jab, and he would have really frustrated Mike, and we all see what happens when Tyson gets frustrated. But, you know, even in this fight here, man, he's just pumping that jab, and Cooney has no answer. You know, he'll throw a little combination here and there. The crowd will go crazy because that's their guy, you know, and they want this so bad for America, you know, and it's just, it's not happening. You know, it's not happening tonight anyway.
And now they're fighting. It's June 11th, 1982. It's in Vegas. It's outside.
The
heat at the time, it's about feeling like 100 degrees when these guys get in the ring.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough, you know, and they're going, this is 15 rounds, right? We're talking 1982. So, you know, this is 15 rounds. And again, this guy hasn't fought in 13 months. You know, the fight was originally scheduled for May, and then he had a shoulder injury, and they pushed it back to June 11th to help him kind of like rehab and recover a little bit. But again, that article we were talking about earlier, referencing earlier, and by Dr. Hawk, it was just like, you know, he put it in there that there are reports that he was full of shit with that shoulder injury. Look at that, man. They're going crazy, man. And he's not even, he's missing most of these shots. But I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, when a fighter has a lot of fans, I remember, you know, it was like a classic De La Hoya move with 10 seconds left. He would throw a couple combinations and the crowd would go crazy, and he was just still rounds that way. But here we have 13 seconds left, and he's, you know, he's trying to.
Which, you're right. That's a good point. It is a good strategy when the round's kind of like even.
When it's close.
Yeah. Like, but like here, Larry Holmes is winning the round, and then it's like people are like in going crazy, like Cooney did something, when I'm like, he was peppering his head like he was, like, you know, the punching bag for majority of the round. And then he puts a little, like, combination that doesn't hurt Larry Holmes. And then people are going crazy for him.
Yeah, and that's, again, like, you know, the fight's throwing out a lot of stats on here. And, you know, he has, at this point, 25 fights. And the average is 3.4 rounds. And right now he's at the fifth already. And he looks like he's gassed already. Yeah. You know, mouth open, you know what I mean? Like, and I get it, he's in the corner, but he looks gassed, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, Holmes is just in his element, you know what I mean? Like, he knows what he's doing. He's trying to extend this fight a little bit and get this guy to see what he has, what kind of stamina he has. And right now, it doesn't look like a lot.
You're watching and listening to us talk about, if you're going to listen to the podcast version, but on our YouTube channel, you're watching one of the ultimate technicians here just go to work. In Larry Holmes. And right. Jose, I want to ask you, because we were talking, a big part of this episode is the great white hype in sports, but in boxing, and you look in fighting. So it's interesting to me that for UFC, and I know I'm more, a little bit more of a fan of UFC than you are, but Conor McGregor, not American born, Irish from Ireland, but the great white hype. And Conor McGregor was, you know, really good fighter. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah,
but, you know, a lot of hype from a lot of crowds here in America for him. But now Tyson Fury, heavyweight champion from the UK, and that doesn't really apply. And I'm wondering, do you think the great white hype, has it gone past just like you have to be American based, or is it still like that goes to just if you're from America?
No, I think it has, in my opinion, it has to be American-based, because you had, like, the Klitschko brothers dominating the heavyweight division for, you know, a long time there. Again, you talked about Tyson Fury, and I didn't really get that when you talked about Tyson Fury, you know what I mean? Or you talked about Klitschko. I didn't really feel that. But if you get a like an American born fighter, I think you definitely get that. You know what I mean? Like you had guys like Mickey Ward in the 90s, like when he fought like Arturo Gatti, it was just obviously that was must watch because they were two great fighters and they were killing each other.
Literally.
But it was I know. It was Irish, you know, Mickey Ward, and you know, it was just he had everybody going crazy for him. And there's been a lot of like European fighters who have had good careers that I did not feel like got the notoriety or attention as like an American born Caucasian fighter would.
Right.
How about you, Darren? I mean, what do you think?
I think so. I think Conor McGregor, some people can just hit the zeitgeist, they hit the culture. Conor McGregor right. did. I think he spoke to a lot of guys like have felt, and you know, we talk politically where people are talking about are like the working class white guys. They feel like they're not being heard and all that stuff. I think Conor McGregor kind of tapped into that, and he kind of was the exception, not the rule. But I still think if there is nothing like, yeah, when you have that fighter who is, especially in the key too, is when you get a heavyweight.
Yeah,
and I still think even though we've come a long way, there's nothing like heavyweight champion of the world. And I think in UFC, look at Brock Lesnar. And people yeah. love Brock Lesnar. Like, I think when you have that heavyweight, that division still captivates people more than any other division, even to this day. So I think when you have the American-born, and it goes to UFC, and definitely has always been there with boxing, that's what it's going to be. And I think it's just, you have at this point, like looking at Jerry Cooney, and being on Sports Illustrated coverage as a contender, Larry Holmes, a champion, he's getting like a little flap on the inside. Like it just shows just the way that media narrative can really churn it out and how powerful it is. And once it gets going, it just gets going.
Yeah, and I can remember, and rest in peace, but like when Tommy Morrison was fighting and he was going to be the next one. And I remember when him and Ray Mercer fought and Ray Mercer did what Ray Mercer did to him. And, I can remember getting that buzz for Morrison, Midwestern, farm boy and all that stuff. Even like in Rocky, he was hyped up just like that. And, that went away pretty quick. But after that Mercer fight, obviously, and then obviously some other, we all know what happened with Tommy Morrison. But it's like, again, heavyweight, white heavyweight, and they move up a lot quicker than a lot of other heavyweights of color.
But you know what's funny is that you had some white heavyweight champion. Don't get me wrong, you have a Jack Dempsey or a Marciano.
Yeah, which were great fighters. Great fighters. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
But it's something that is funny that it's craving. But, once Jack Johnson back in, the early 20th century broke the mold, it really hasn't been there yet. It's still like that. It's like, to me, it's like, I don't know, you look at other sports, like a white wide receiver. People are kind of, they're like, yeah, we're done with that. Like, even though Cooper Kupp killed it, but people kind of are like.
He won me two fantasy championships.
He did. But, like, yeah. That, I think there's some that, like, people kind of let go. But I feel like the white heavyweight champ is still there, even though, like, it's kind of been shattered for so long. There hasn't been a lot of white heavyweight champions, white American born, definitely too,
Yeah. Cause I mean, I'll say this, like the heavyweight division has been really quiet for the last bunch of years. This year, the last couple of years, with, Wilder and Fury, it's been pretty good with them two, fighting and stuff like that. And Fury being a great fighter in his own, I just haven't been that excited for a heavyweight fight in a long time until those two guys were fighting, this year, a couple years ago. Yeah. So, again, like the heavyweight division can be terrible for a long time. You get two good heavyweights in there, people will watch, because there's something about and that was a good left by Cooney there, knowing that in any moment in this fight, one punch will end it. You know what I mean? Like, and could end it. And there's something to that, man, that keeps people wanting to watch, keeps people on the edge of their seats.
And, we look, just bringing up for the fight that I mean, I can't tell you just in like just this round alone, every body shot that Cooney's attempted is a low blow.
Right. And that's another big story.
And that's going to be a big theme of this fight, that he's low blowing. And I love Mills Lane. Let's get it on. Mills Lane's the ref in this fight. Mills Lane did a lot of great fights and great referee. But, you know, Jerry Cooney, talk about disqualified for that Ken Norton fight because of the punishing blows. Cooney could have been disqualified, should have been, for the low blows. He lost points, but should have been disqualified.
And, yeah, you talked about his toughness earlier. He was catching some shots right here. He got hit with another right hand.
This sixth round is dominant for Larry Holmes. He's just working them.
Right. Yeah, he caught him with another, you know, right hand right following that jab. And here's the replay for that. And if you're, you know, listening on the podcast, it's just a beautiful 1-2 combination. Followed up with a couple more right hands. And at one point, you know, Cooney's pretty much falling down, and the ropes held him up. And if it wasn't for that rope, he would have went down. You know, it's like, right, yeah. I mean, he hit him with a couple wild shots, and they were both, like, kind of, like, out of control a little bit. But Cooney was going down, you know, and the ropes helped him stay up. So, again, like you mentioned there, I mean, this is a dominant sixth round by Larry Holmes.
And it's just I hate to keep beating on it, but you just look at a guy who just doesn't belong in a ring with him.
Right, right. And I'll give him credit. Like, he caught a lot of shots there in that round, and he's, you know, still up and then still willing to throw punches. So I give him that. He has heart. But that can get you killed too, you know, in this sport especially.
No.
Now you're starting to see something. Excuse me, Jeremy. Now you're starting to see, like, some swelling under the left eye of Cooney. Like, it's just getting worse by round. Again, just pumping that jab right in this way. Yeah, just pumping that jab. And they, you know, it just gets me frustrated, man. Like, I'm looking at, you know, again, he gets a warning for a low blow, and it's just, man, like, I mean, there eventually were 2 points being deducted from Cooney in this fight, but it could have been a lot more. Yeah, I'm just looking at Cooney's shorts and stuff. Got that, like, four-leaf clover on it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they went all in on this. And, hey, they might be shorts that he wears all the time. I don't know. But they're perfect for this fight.
For years, this was like the pay-per-view record, this fight.
Yeah.
Holmes and Cooney. But Holmes is a forgot. You're a part of, like, one of the big fights. This is technically one of the big fights in boxing history.
Absolutely.
But.
Absolutely.
Larry Holmes, you know, we did our Ali Frazier episode, and, you know, check the archives on that one.
Yep.
Check. Joe Frazier, how underrated he was, underappreciated. You know, the crime that Rocky Balboa, a fictional champion, had a statue before Joe Frazier got one, and Joe Frazier got one after he died. It's a black mark on the city of Philadelphia. It's terrible. But as underrated as Joe Frazier is and was, I think Larry Holmes is even more underrated.
Oh, absolutely. At least Frazier had that big-time win against Ali, which put him on the map forever. You know what I mean? Like, we talked about the magnitude of Muhammad Ali. I mean, you're still feeling that magnitude even in this fight.
Right.
You know what I mean? But him having that win put him on the boxing map forever. Like, Holmes got a win over Ali, but obviously we all know Ali was done at that point. But I agree. Like, I think Larry Holmes is definitely much more underrated than Frazier.
I mean, we talked about Tommy Hearns and the Hearns-Leonard fight. Underrated, underappreciated. Tommy Hearns, I think, still gets more love than Larry Holmes. Like, I don't know if there's a boxer, in my opinion, more underrated in any division than Larry, a great fighter than Larry Holmes. Like, I really can't think of one.
That's a good question. You got me thinking. I don't think I can either.
And I think it's interesting that I feel like boxing is like boxing and baseball have that lore of like going way back in the day, like way back in like right. Yeah, the old footage and that history, which is special. Why I know you love it, I love it. But it's weird where I feel like those are two sports where like sometimes, like, you know, like there's that recent history in those other sports where it's like the farther you go, people get forgotten great ones. Boxing and baseball are kind of weird where I feel like they almost don't have that, like not as fully. Like I feel like Rocky Marciano and Archie Moore and Sugar Ray Robinson and great, you know, they get talked about more than Larry Holmes. Like, we're watching Larry Holmes' fight in color. Like those guys fought in black and white. A lot of people didn't see their fights. They're talked about still to this day. They're dead. Like Larry Holmes is alive, but like they're talked about more than like Larry Holmes is. It is fascinating to me.
Yeah, and I also think a part of that lore that you were talking about with baseball, with boxing, it's like those players from the past, like the stuff that they did. Again, with a lot less talent. Like, I mean, like overall in the sport, it gets magnified like big time. Like, you know, we talk about constantly hear Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig and, you know, all those players back in the Ty Cobb, like all these players like that, you know, were dominating their sport. And it's like we don't have a lot of footage on it. So it's just more of like stories that you hear. And it's like the same thing in boxing. I feel like, you know, with the Marcianos and the Jack Dempseys and all those fighters from back then, it's like all those stories, like true or not, are like oh my God, like, you know what I mean? I think here with Larry Holmes, we saw the career. We obviously got to see it. And it's like, I think it's also like an opportunity for people to kind of like bring him down a little bit compared to like what these other fighters, like you had that chance with other fighters. But I agree. Like, he's definitely not talked about like the way those guys are, for sure.
Yes. It's just so I could name so many. And we could switch different weight classes, but guys who not as great as Larry Holmes, but I think they're in the history more. And I just – it's kind of baffling. Roy Jones Jr. is talking – and Roy did broadcast. And you talk about somebody who – and Roy was one of the most exciting fighters ever.
That's a good comparison.
But Roy fought nobody. He fought young Bernard when Bernard was still young, and that was a good fight. I think Bernard a few years later would have beaten Roy. He did many years later, but Roy didn't want to fight him anymore. I think Roy ducked him, honestly, for a long time, in my opinion.
I think so, too. He ducked fighting James Toney again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he beat James Toney when they were young.
So
it's an embarrassing fight for Tony. Tony became a much better fighter, and he did not want to fight him again.
But talk about someone who fought nobody, where Larry Holmes beat great fighters.
Right, right. But the argument is they were all pretty much past their prime. That's debatable for sure.
I think when he beat Ken Norton in 78 to get the title, like, which is a great fight.
It was a great fight.
I think that's a great quality win for Larry Holmes. I think he lost. The streak ends to Michael Spinks. I don't know if I give that fight to Michael Spinks, to be quite honest with you. But Michael Spinks is a great fighter.
Yeah.
You know, he has great quality wins in this run. Tim Witherspoon, a future champ, like, he has great wins in here.
Yeah, young Tim Witherspoon. You know, Ernie Shavers was older.
Ernie Shavers was older, like,
right, and then, like, you know, so that's another name people look at and see, and I go, oh, okay, Ernie Shavers. But, again, like, he was a little past his prime. Another great heavyweight.
Probably.
Then Ali, we talked about, you know, obviously Ali was way past his prime. That fight should have never happened.
No, for sure. That fight, that's the travesty right there. But,
yeah,
you know, I think it's just fascinating. I you know, we talked about Frank Thomas in baseball being so underrated and why, and, you know, Jack Silverstein came on and kind of helped explain some of that, especially for his local stuff. But, you know, is this I don't know what you want to say, is Frank Thomas the Larry Holmes of baseball or Larry Holmes is the Frank Thomas of boxing? But two guys who so underrated, and even despite hearing everything, I'm surprised that why were you underrated, underappreciated then, And for damn sure, I'm surprised why you're underappreciated right now.
Right. And I think it also, as we talked about with Frank Thomas, we can talk about the same thing with Larry Holmes, that it's like that flash, right? Like that with boxing, like those spectacular knockouts. And not that he wasn't knocking guys out. It's just like he was so methodical and just breaking dudes down, like you were mentioning earlier, Jeremy. And, you know, Frank Thomas was kind of the same thing. He was like so great and just everything looked so easy. I think this looks easy to Larry Holmes. Like he makes this look easy. And then, yeah, and you can see Cooney, you know, a lot more active and throwing a lot of punches. He's catching Larry Holmes a little bit, but, you know, it's not at one point that you think Larry Holmes might be in trouble. Yeah. Like, it's not even close. Like, he's in total control of this fight. And, you know, he's walking him down. It's just like mastery. And that's the thing, though. Like, these guys can make it look so easy and effortless that people take that for granted. You know what I mean? Like, and we talked about it during that Frank Thomas episode. I definitely took Frank Thomas for granted because it was just 30 home runs and 125 RBIs that were given, you know, for Larry Holmes. It was like, you know, knockout after knockout after knockout. That's just a given.
Do you think Larry Holmes being underappreciated, is it more of a factor of Ali retiring and he's followed Ali, or the fact that the four king, you know, Ray Leonard, Hagler, you know, Hearns, Durant, that they're rising? Like, do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. You know, like those, like the middleweight division, like welterweight divisions, like were so great in the 80s and really kind of like took over boxing. You know what I mean? And it was just a sign of like what was to come in the future. And I know the 90s heavyweights, we did an episode way before at the beginning of this podcast. Check the archives for sure. And we talked about the 90s heavyweights and how great it was, like a lot of great heavyweights in the 90s. But at this point, like those other divisions are taking over boxing. And that was pretty much unheard of. You know, at this era of boxing, we're talking about 82, it was all about the heavyweight. You know what I mean? The heavyweights were the biggest fights. You know, as we see here, we got another low blow here.
And Mills Lane's going to take some points.
Yeah, finally, like the dude could barely walk at this point, you know. But yeah, like those divisions were, they were getting paid like heavyweights at this point, you know what I mean? Or coming to, this is 82. So it was just about to start, you know what I mean? With Leonard, Hagler, Holmes, and Duran. That's a big part of it for me. I'll be very honest. That's what I think. What do you think, Jeremy?
Yeah, I do think that's even bigger. I think Ali has a factor for sure, and he will always be compared. I think if you have even a normal – I know there's no normal, but like a more standard decade of boxing, Larry Holmes gets more pub because he does have that long of run, and they've kind of forced him to give him more attention. But like, you know, we said earlier, and I'll stick to it, I do believe for a decade of boxing, you're not going to beat the 1980s for just the greatness of the fighters combined with the excitement of the fights. Like, you can almost look to me from 80 to 89, you're getting classic fights and classic showdowns throughout that entire decade. You can pick each year and it's like boom, boom, boom. So it's like,
yeah,
it does hurt that he just went at a time where now these smaller weight classes are getting that heavyweight type of attention and that heavyweight type of money. It was bad timing for him in that factor. And it's a shame because it should be one of the top things. I think the four kings should be the standard. We talk about 80s boxing, those four men for sure. But Larry Holmes should be right, you know, at two or three at the latest. Talk about Larry Holmes' great title run in the 80s.
Right. I agree with that. And again, like you talked about the excitement of a lot of those fights. Well, Larry Holmes, we were mentioning that earlier where his dominance, it makes people think like he's not really fighting guys because he's just dominating everybody. But again, like, you know, that's why I say the Roy Jones comparison is a really good one because Roy Jones was fighting. He fought like a fireman one time. I remember. Mm-hmm. I think it was like a New York fireman or whatever. And you know, like it was like, what are we watching here? Like, he's going to destroy this guy.
But he got so much hype.
Right.
Fight nobody.
Right. I mean, I just also think, like, you can see that was special talent. And I'm not saying Holmes wasn't, but you can see Roy Jones, and it's just like his speed and power and stuff was different.
But people talk about Mayweather ducking fighters, and Mayweather was calculated, don't get me wrong. Floyd fought a lot of great fighters, though.
He fought good fighters. Yeah.
I think Floyd, or especially early Floyd,
he
did not do that as he got bigger. I think especially post the De La Hoya fight, then the calculating really started happening. I think you look at pre the De La Hoya fight, Floyd was fighting guys and taking them on and doing work and dominating. Like, to me, people talk about no one ducked in my, like, Roy Jones Jr. ducked. Like, he ducked fighter, and that's what hurts him. Roy Jones Jr. is a special talent. I still feel like I don't know where I would rank him on an all-time list because of it, though. Because of who he fought and the ducking, he's the biggest mystery. I don't know where I would put him.
Yeah, that's a tough one because, again, then you see what happens when he did start fighting good fighters towards the end of his career, like Tarver and things like that. They were knocking him out. they were knocking him out, and you know, I don't know if Tarver knocks Roy Jones out like even like 5 or 6 years before that, but you don't know.
I love to see it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, you don't know. And but yeah, it's a very interesting conversation for sure. But you mentioned it. I think Larry Holmes wasn't doing that. You know, he was definitely fighting guys, and you know, this round is a good round though.
The 10th round.
Yeah, the 10th round is a really good round because, you know, Cooney starts to land a few shots here. He's really busy. But I think at this point, this is the best that he's got.
Which is, for a guy who we saw his average fights for a while have been 3 rounds, that he gave his best in the 10th. You know, you got to give him credit.
Right.
And we'll talk more as we get later on about these two guys and where their relationship's at to this day, 40 years later. I do give, you know, Jerry Cooney credit. Now, the management team he picked, you know, and to be fair, Larry Holmes had his – Don King hyped it up. But Jerry Cooney did not really eat that. He didn't drink the Kool-Aid, I should say. Like, he was just about the fight. And about boxing and just, like, happy to be there for the opportunity. And I give Jerry Cooney credit for that because a lot of guys would have, yeah, I am the chosen one. It is my right to be here. He did not do that.
Yeah, he never did that. And I really respect him, especially for, and we'll get into this later, but what he does now in boxing, mm-hmm. like, he does a lot for fighters. And, you know, he's a part of a lot of, like, organizations and stuff like that. But, you know, he didn't like that, you know, the Great White Hope, like, nickname and nothing like that. Like, he did not like that. He did not want to be called that, you know, the gentleman, Jerry Cooney. It's a good one nickname, though.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a good nickname. But he did not like that Great White Hope thing. And I don't, I mean, if you're not about that, I don't blame you. Because that's ugly. You know what I mean? Like, that's an ugly way to be looked at.
Now, you know, in the corners, you have Dennis Rappaport yelling, one of Cooney's managers, come on, dig deep. America needs you. America needs, just do it for America. Now, he says, because a lot of people gave him stuff saying, what do you mean America needs you? Do it for America.
As they should.
And he says he was just saying motivational words. But what do you think he means?
I think he's full of shit. Yeah, I think he's full of shit. And, you know, we all know what that was about. And, you know, it's funny because they were talking about, you know, when he started saying that, that's when them low blows started coming too. And, well, even more, like, that's when he got that deduction and stuff like that. So, yeah, we all know what that meant. And it's just, it's a shame. You know what I mean? Like, it's a shame that and that's when you know, like, they were trying to really dig deep into that. Because, again, like, they know he's getting his ass whooped. So they're trying to pull all stops, like, and try to hype him up. And it's just, it didn't matter what they said to him. It was just the fighter across the ring is an all-time great fighter. And they knew he did not belong in the ring with him.
No, absolutely. And we're getting to the 11th round. And if you're watching the fight with us on YouTube, the fights clearly should be dominated. Even without, say Jerry's not throwing low blows, it still should be clearly in Larry Holmes' favor, but two of the three judges are leaning toward Jerry Cooney here.
Yeah, at this point in the fight, yep. Like, you know, and if he doesn't get those point deductions, like you mentioned, like, it's even worse. You know what I mean? Like, which is insane. Like, and it's, you knew they were trying to do something here.
It's the crime, and to me, it's what number one has killed this sport to this, and it hurts me because if you're watching this, you have to, if you don't remember, you don't remember that time where if 1982, this was the story in sports. Everyone stopped, and you're going to closed circuit, you're going to the local bar, or you're getting together in someone's house to go get this fight. Everyone's watching this fight. And that is gone in boxing, and I think will never really come back. I know. Well, let me ask you a thing about the whole, you know, the Jake Paul. People are kind of talking about that, the celebrity. But he is technically a boxer, but he's fighting other people who aren't boxers, and they're trying to say, is he good for boxing or not? What do you think?
I think it's terrible, right? I think it's terrible, and it's also – I think it's a little staged, right? And that's just, you know, my opinion. And but the thing is, it's like he's almost out of that, like, Conor McGregor, like, cloth. Like, right? Like, he's super brash and flashy. And, you know, he's talking in your face. He's talking a lot of shit. And, you know, people eat that up, you know. And they actually think this guy is, like, a good fighter. And he's not. You know what I mean? And he's – it's – to me, it's a joke. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't – I think it's terrible for boxing because – they're making it seem like anyone can just come in and do this when you can't. Like, you have to train. I'm not saying he doesn't train because he looks like
he does train.
Yeah, he looks like he's in good shape.
And he's technically a pro fighter, but he's not fighting other boxers. He's fighting celebrities. He's fighting UFC fighters in a boxing who, if you look at a Ben Askren, a Tyron Woodley, they don't even have a, like, their background isn't like in UFC, like, oh, they're knockout guys. Ben Askren is a amateur wrestler, like, you know, like the singlet, like, right. That's what he was a national champion wrestler. That's what he brings to UFC, where he's going to take you down and get on top of you. He's not a boxer. That's not even what he does. And even if you are a knockout guy in UFC, it's totally different getting in there with a boxer. But he's not even facing, yep, like, knockout guys in UFC. He's facing, like, grapplers and Nate Robinson and all kinds of things that are just a joke. And but it is getting a lot of attention because he's this YouTuber and doing it. I'm with you, though. I think it's bad for boxing.
Yeah, it's getting a lot of attention. And because, again, I also think he does a great job of promoting himself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And, like, you know, in interviews and he – again, like, he's watching, he watched what McGregor's done, he watched what, you know, Mayweather has done. It's just, you're loud and in your face, people are going to watch for a few reasons. People are going to think you're that good, or they want to see you get your ass kicked, you know, and either way, you're watching, and that's what they want.
No, for sure, and I think it's just, I understand people looking for publicity and thinking Boston hasn't had it like this in a while, and the attention, but to me, then it's like, it's on par with, like, that celebrity boxing match when you had, like, Fridge against Manute Bol or Jose Canseco, right, against Vysek Ahmed. Like, you're, like, a notch above that. Like, so it's a spectacle. It's not respecting the sport, you know, and I think that's just where it's going to hurt, you know. When Floyd did it, disappointed me, like, yeah, with Conor. It's like, come on, man, just either retire or what are we doing here? But why are you getting in the ring and doing this? And then, like, the fact that, like, people are like, well, Conor lasted. It's like, no, Floyd clearly could have knocked him out.
Right, anytime in that,
yeah, fight. And I'm just like, that disappointed me with Floyd because I'm like, you grew up in this sport.
Yep.
And I get, like, you didn't need the payday. I know it was a big payday, but
huge.
You didn't need that both. Payday then to disrespect the sport that was been in your blood for so long, that what your father did, your uncle did, like, I don't know. That's what disappoints me with him on that one.
Right. And, yeah, it's funny you mentioned that because I was watching an interview with him today. The interview wasn't today. I watched it today, and it was just talking about why you're not coming back in boxing. He's like, I did an exhibition fight and got $100 million. Why would I want to come back to make $20, $25 million? And he's right. You know, he made a lot of money with that fight, and people were watching, and I watched it, and, you know, because I was where someone had paid for it, whatever the case. And so I was like, I'll watch. But again, it was a joke. You know, it was a joke. It wasn't a boxing match. It was just two guys there, like, trying to stretch it out to make it look good.
No,
not like we're watching right now. Like, this dude is getting his ass kicked. You know, yeah. He can't do nothing about it.
Absolutely. And I think that's where it's the difference. And it's one of those things where, you know, I never talk about Larry Holmes, but it's just what the memory does and how you go about it, because Mayweather beat Pacquiao, but if I'm ranking fighters on all time, I'm going to put Pacquiao ahead of Mayweather still.
Right, me too.
And I think that's just where I look at it, like kind of like a Larry Holmes. I was looking, like, I think you look at the controversial losses to, like, Michael Spinks and all, but I don't know how you don't have him as a top five heavyweight. And I looked at, like, Burt Sugar's list, and he had Larry for greatest heavyweights, Larry Holmes at number 10, which I just think is just crazy. And I loved Burt Sugar.
And that's a guy – yeah, I was about to say, that's a guy's opinion who I respect a lot, who was at this fight for sure. And, yeah, but there's no way – I it'll be hard for me to find five more fighters better than Larry – heavyweights fighters better than Larry Holmes. It'll be tough. And to do nine? No, I can't do nine.
The only one who's a really tough one for me of where is, like, in that same, like, spot, like, they're around. I don't know who I'd put him, Larry, or this guy. Lennox Lewis is a tough one.
Yep.
Like, they're both, like, right at, like, five or right outside of five. And I'm like, I don't know who I'd put higher, Larry Holmes or Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, I would. That's a tough one, and that's also like a good comparison. Like, two really good, smart fighters. Lennox Lewis was a bad dude, man. Like, you know, and that's another one. Again, I know he's not like American, so a lot of people probably didn't love that. But great fighter.
And it's the hard part is he fought in a great era of boxing, but those great fighters, because of the craziness of 90s boxing, though, he missed some, and the ones that he did get, he got them later on. So it's kind of like that's what makes it hard. It's like, you know, if he gets that Tyson win against Tyson in his prime, Holyfield earlier, if he does get a chance to fight Riddick Bowe and he could beat a Bowe,
which would have been a great fight.
Yeah, it would have been an awesome fight to see. Then it's like, I'd probably be like, Lennox Lewis is over Larry just on who he had to beat. But he it wasn't his fault. Those guys just weren't fighting him in that time. He didn't get them until much later to get that validation.
Yeah, which is a shame because he was another great one. And that's, again, good comparison with these two. Yeah, so we're here in this round, and I believe it's the 13th round. And this is where Larry Holmes just puts an end to this thing.
And everything is a low blow. Like, Jerry is just low blow. Like, it's bad. This is Andrew Goliath.
Yeah.
Yes. 12 years or 14 years earlier.
Yeah, I think Larry at this point, he knows he's done. And he's just waiting for that shot. He hit him with a few really good right hands in the last round. And again, Cooney in the 12th round, Cooney, to me, showed a lot of heart because he took some of those big-time shots.
Yeah. Right now, the biggest shots is that Larry's nuts. Cooney just keeps hitting him down there.
Yeah, he's trying to – you don't want Larry to have kids.
Yeah.
Ooh, another good right. Another one. So he's teeing him off of that right hand. I think he can smell that. Yeah, he was holding his head. Can't do that.
Larry probably getting frustrated. Keep hitting him low.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't gone back and kind of did that. But again, I think that also shows that character Larry Holmes, you know, had.
which it's a little surprising because Mills, like I guess, Hall of Fame referee. When you watch old fights with Mills, he gets in there. He's, you know, he lets him go, but he doesn't let it get as wild to me as this.
Yeah, he got hit with four or five right hands in a row there. I mean, he couldn't do it for America. Come in the ring, hugging. I've never seen that. So I also was reading an article that they were trying to call this a disqualification because the corner came into the ring, which is an automatic DQ, but they called it a TKO. But they were, you know, people were saying like at some point they were going to call this a disqualification.
Yeah,
which is, you can tell, like, which is how bad of a beating it is if your corner's jumping in the ring and just hugging you.
I think it showed the trainer knew, you know, you get your guys ready best you can. Anything can technically happen. It's boxing. One punch can change history. But he knew it was an uphill battle. He knew he had fought, yeah. You know, Jerry Cooney. All he had was heart, and he gave it there. But I think it shows. I like seeing that. I like. In all sports, but especially in these combat sports, I don't like seeing human beings treated like they're racehorses.
Right, and I think their relationship was—I mean, he was calling them pops, mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean. Like, so Cooney was calling his trainer pops, and I think that relationship, when you have like that, you see it a lot with like father son, like the trainer is the dad. Like, you see a lot of that too, where you know, it like a lot of times they jump in and kind of stop the fight. Where normally, if you have a different type of trainer that you don't really have a long relationship with, they're going to let you in to try to, like, you know, try to get yourself out of that. But as you can see in his replay, man, he's not defending himself, and he's catching a lot of power shots.
Yeah, I don't know why. I think Barry Tompkins was saying he definitely didn't get knocked. He got knocked down.
No, he's
Larry down. Was like a, you know, lumberjack, just timber, just taking whacks at the tree, just whack. Whack, wait for him to go down. Like, that's because he was going through him. Yeah, that's hot knife on butter. Like, Larry just let him just, and he's taking some shots, man.
Yeah, they're all power shots. There's no jab here.
Look at this. It's like a lumberjack, just timber. And then the big tree fall yeah, hard.
Gloves down. Yeah, it's gloves down. That's a knockdown. Every time I see an interview of his, though, I can't go back to, like, Eddie Murphy and, you know, the Peppermint Patty.
Oh, right.
My name's Larry Holmes. I get the sensation. You stop.
I forgot
man.
About that.
I can't stop laughing when I think I've watched that when we were doing our Eddie Murphy episode. I watched that skit like 100 times.
Oh, that's a great one.
That's a hard word. That's a hard word. All right, I gotta stop. Because I'm going to keep going with it.
This is it's weird because it's really not his biggest win of his career, but by attention, notoriety,
yeah,
money,
it's a huge fight, though.
And money, this is Larry Holmes' big win. So it's
it was a huge fight, though. It was a huge fight. So I mean, and it's a shame that this might be his biggest win. You know what I mean? Like, in his biggest fight. But again, like it's due to, you know, trainers, promoters pulling, you know, using the race thing to hype it up. And I think you should give me my credit, even because you don't have no cash. All right, so at this point, you know, the fight's over, interviewing Larry Holmes.
But I think it's huge, you know, to talk about as much animosity and bad blood that have been created and generated between the two camps, between the two fighters, between the country back in 1982, that if you see it 40 years later, the friendship that these two guys have with each other, that they have to this day, I think it's impressive. And I think it's quite honorable, Jose, of what these two guys can look back on this time, see the manipulation, go past that, say we were two fighters who left it all in the ring. And like you said, I have so much respect for Larry Holmes, but honestly, probably almost as much for Jerry Cooney and what he's done with his life, you know, post-boxing and how he's handled all this.
Right, right. And, you know, even right after the fight was over, you know, Larry Holmes walked over to the corner, you know, and you see a lot of fighters do that. And so what I'm going to stop the video. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like a lot of fighters do that. Them glasses, man, Ray's killing me. They're nice glasses. They get sales? I don't know. But, yeah, like, you know, a lot of fighters do that. They go to the corner. That could have been – this could have been a fight where I would have been like, I understand him not going over there. You know what I mean? And, you know, telling him to kiss his ass and all that good stuff. But, like, you know, he walked right over there, gave him a hug. Like, that just shows what type of person Larry Holmes is, you know, especially in this fight. Like, this fight, I could definitely understood him not wanting to do that. But, again, it goes back to – you talked about that relationship, how that relationship developed. And these guys were, like, close friends, like not just cool, like they were close.
They're close friends to this day, and a lot of they, right. You know, we're over in Europe doing a tour for the 40th anniversary of this fight. Larry, you know, lives. He pretty much owns Easton, Pennsylvania. That's like his town.
Yeah,
Cooney's not that far away in a town in Jersey. A lot of times, Cooney has gone over to Larry's home or to an event for Larry and shown support. Cooney has done things to help young fighters out, to help people who are victims of domestic violence and abuse.
Domestic violence, yeah.
So, you know, really, and, you know, has stayed sober. He battled addiction. Like, so many things you have to give credit to these guys for. And a lot of times, I think the testament is you want to talk about what the hype, the great white hype, and how that's still used in sports to this day, and how sports and social issues are intertwined, but then to tell the whole story is how these guys did not let, they went past that and said, hey, I'm looking at this other gladiator in the ring. I'm seeing what's inside this other person. And they were able to maintain and go past the bullshit and maintain a real, true, genuine friendship that I think is honorable.
Which strikes me as a part of this story that does not get talked about.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like they're, what their relationship became and has been for 40 years. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that nobody talks about that. That's not where you don't see that on covers of magazine. You don't see, you know, people interviewing them for that. No, it's all about what happened with this huge fight and what led up to the fight. And that's, again, like that goes to show you what they were trying to accomplish, which they did, and selling like with race and people pulling on people like that race car for people. And people are going to like bite on that. A lot of America will anyway, to this day still. And again, like that for me, and that was a great point. I'm glad you brought that up, Jeremy, that should get talked about. It's like these guys were in this promotion where Don King did all this stuff. And now after the fight and that their relationship, what happened there, that's the part where it shows that's what America needs to see. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And needs to listen to, and use as an example of like two guys who went through all this stuff, got through it, and like you say, can see what's, you know, what's what the person is, not what we look at on the outside.
No, I think this fight, if you watch it just on strictly a fight, you're going to be like, why do people want to talk about this? Why is it 40th anniversary?
Right.
Why do we have anniversaries for it? You know, HBO's The Legendary Knights show, back probably to the early 2000s, and they did it.
Yeah.
They gave an episode to this fight, and you're thinking, why? If you compare it to all the other fights, they're so bizarre and so crazy in the ring. This fight in the ring didn't really have that. But if you see what generated beforehand and what this represented even in modern times, you know, it sounds crazy, but if you look at what happened – and I you should know the year, but with Jim Jeffries and Jack Johnson winning.
Was it 1902?
Or 1912?
1910 or something like that, yeah.
And what happened, you know, racial, you know, blacks were killed for Jack Johnson winning. Right. And you go, you know, 70 years later in the Reagan era, Reaganomics. There was a fear that that was still going to happen.
Which I'm sure did. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure dudes were at bars and, you know, and they were like, look at that dude, I'm going to go fuck him up or something. Like, you know what I mean? And like, because of stuff like this. And I'm sure it happened. We just didn't see a report get reported. Right. You know, there was no, obviously no social media, no camera phones, none of that stuff. But yeah, like that, it's crazy, man. Like what this can do, what race, obviously, is a huge, 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 huge part of American history and still is, and how easy we can pull on that if you want to promote something, make it big.
And how it's the topic that will define our society. It's the number one, is how we handle race. And I want people to look at it and ask, Larry Holmes is an American just as much as Jerry Cooney is. So, hey, President Reagan wants to have a phone in Jerry Cooney's, you know, locker. That's cool. Have one in Larry Holmes's locker. Be willing to call whoever wins. I got no knocks on you, Reagan, if you do that. I really don't. Right. I really don't. Right. You want to hype up Jerry Cooney because, hey, you think he can be exciting? I don't even knock that. What I knock, though, is you have someone who's doing great and you don't give him that love right there, too. So you want to hype up, yep. You know, hey, we get it. Capitalist society. You want to market it. This guy has to look. You're going to get money. He sells all that stuff. I get that. But you have a great American fighter who has a great look right now, and you're not giving him any praise. Why? And people need to sit there and do that and read between the lines. And then when you say, well, why do certain people, why does this group or that group always bring up race? Because you have systematically allowed that to always be brought up every single day that we exist. And then you get an, you know, surprised or shocked when that gets brought up. Why are you guys going to talk about this topic? Why is that fine? Because look at this. And you see, you see what Larry Holmes is saying. If you watch, you know, he's talking to Larry Merchant after, and give me that respect. That's what he's saying. He's not even saying, and I mean, if you look at some of the pre-fight stuff, he does take shots at Jerry Cooney. But a lot of it is, really, the truth is, give me my respect. I've done this. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that. And yet I still get played. And that's the thing. It was boring. Another black fighter who's great. We don't care.
Right. So we were mentioning throughout the fight how important, like, Mills Lane, you know, taking points off, you know, on Jerry Cooney for those low blows and stuff like that. So at this point, this was the third, this is the through 12 rounds, the scorecard, I'm just going to read them, not the whole thing, but read them real quick. One judge had it 112-112, the draw so far. And that's with a 9-8 round. So pretty much, you know, when Jerry Cooney, you know, was hit with those, that point deduction, they're trying to say he was winning that round. At one point, that judge had him winning the first 4 out of the first 5 rounds. And we were talking how, like, what Larry Holmes was doing
in those early rounds. Can I ask you, was the second round, the one round that he didn't give Cooney, was that the second round when he got knocked down? Does it show?
Right.
I'm about to say, did he give that round? I can't trust it at this point.
Right. So that's the one judge. Second judge had it 115-109, Larry Holmes. He had Larry Holmes, you know, winning the first 2 rounds. But again, they gave Cooney, all 3 judges gave him the 3rd, 4th, and 5th round.
Which I disagree with.
Right. So do I. The third judge had it 114-111, Jerry Cooney, going into the 12th. And that's with point deductions. That's with the knockdown. He had it 114-111. And then in the last 4th judge had it 114-110. Not the last judge. Next judge had it 114-110, Larry Holmes. And then the last judge had it 113-111. Like, it's incredible. You know what I mean? Like, it's what they were trying to do with this fight, man. It was, if they would have been able to do that, like, just think about it. Like, if they give this decision to Jerry Cooney, one, what it does to Larry Holmes' career, right? We were talking about how, like, underrated he is. People are not going to talk about Larry Holmes the way they do if he loses this fight.
They might, honestly, in a way, though, because it'd be one of the big robberies in boxing history. They would have gave it to him.
True.
So not in the way Larry Holmes deserves or would have wanted to be talked about, but he might have gotten more attention because then it's like, this is one of the big, you know, heist jobs in boxing history, you know, like, sadly, like when Pernell, you know, Whitaker, they gave the draw against Chavez, and he clearly outclassed him, you know, or the first like Holyfield Lewis fight with a draw, or the De La Hoya Trinidad fight, so, or Ali Norton 3. So it would have been up there with, and there's so many more shams in boxing, sadly, in boxing history. But honestly, Jose might have got talked about more if he did get cheated, which is a shame.
True. Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. But again, I just like, we were talking about it throughout the fight, and I just kind of wanted to put some numbers to that. I have all the scorecards, like all, and they're all like, it's just back and forth, and they're all different scorecards from all these different people. So it's a shame, man. Like, again, such a great fighter, great career, and so blatantly underrated. It's, I don't know if that happens today, if he has his same career and people don't get talked, he doesn't get talked about as much, but at this point in time, people talk about he came at the wrong time, and I don't know if that's true or not.
I don't know when he would have been. I think boxing is such a feeble sport now that, you know, I don't think it would have helped. I mean, maybe if he fought in the 90s, that, you know, that era of 90s boxing, maybe that could have helped him out more.
I don't know. But at this era, you're the heavyweight champ. Like, you're on top of sports. This isn't like the NFL is as powerful as it is today. The NBA is not. Obviously, NHL, maybe baseball is probably in competition with boxing. But if you're the heavyweight champion in the 80s, 70s, 80s, like, you're the shit. Like, everybody knows who you are. You know, everybody knew who Tyson was. Everybody knew Muhammad Ali. Like, everybody knew Joe Frazier, Foreman. Like, they knew all these fighters. Why? Because they were, at one point, the heavyweight champion of the world. That was still such a big deal in 82. And for this guy still, even in that era, not to be recognized, it's I don't understand it.
Well, you said it earlier, who he was sandwiched in between. He's sandwiched in between. I still think Ali is, you know, Jordan's up there, but I still probably say Ali's the most popular athlete of the 20th century. One of the most popular figures.
Yeah, right. Right.
And then you have Tyson, who's one of the more colorful, controversial athletes of all time. Yeah, he's sandwiched in between two unicorns. Yeah. Now they're unicorns for different reasons, but he's saying that, you know, there's one of a kind Ali. There's one of a kind Mike Tyson, and Larry Holmes is right in between them, and
they're both heavyweights.
And they're both heavyweights, you know? Because I was gonna say, like, and the NBA bounced back, but there was a while where there was that Jordan factor. When Jordan retired at 98 with the Bulls, there was like a, the NBA kind of dropped. It's like, who's next? Like, you're missing it. And I was wondering, is that the Ali factor for heavyweight boxing? But then Tyson does come along, and he at one point is in running, you know, for most popular athlete on the planet.
Oh, I think he was.
Yeah.
You know, and I was a little kid, and I knew who Mike Tyson was, and it was all about, like, the Bulldog, and, you know, we talked about coming to America. Who that new kid, the Bulldog? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Tyson. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, everybody knew. My mom knew who Tyson was. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody knew some of these fighters. And, you know, I just think Larry Holmes, and that's a good comparison too, like the Jordan effect and the couple years after. Like, you know, we talked about, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon, right? And how great Hakeem Olajuwon was and winning back-to-back titles. And it's like, we don't even talk about Hakeem Olajuwon and those Rockets teams. And not that they were like all-time great teams, but he was an all-time great player. And he does not get talked about. Why? Because, again, like, I think some folks, that casual fan who Jordan kept in the league, took a step back. You know what I mean? And it's like they kind of stopped watching. And I think maybe the same thing could have happened with boxing, where it's like that one casual, my mom, you know what I'm saying, that would watch a fight if I'm watching it, wasn't going to do that because she don't know who Larry Holmes is.
Right, so, where Ali, everyone was going.
Everybody's watching.
To see what they wanted to hear, what he had to say, see what he was going to do. The co-sell stuff beforehand, the fight, the after, you know, you want to see him, his commentary on, like, you wanted to see all that. And you're right, you lost a lot of people when Ali goes. And those people came back in a different way for a Mike Tyson fight. So it's a shame. But you know, we talked about it when Jack Silverstein came on the YouTube channel about Frank Thomas. How much of this is just timing? And how much of it is just like timing can help you in so many ways, but it can hurt you and things that aren't your fault. Not even that athlete, you know, it's not Ali's. Ali was born when he was born. Ali stopped when he stopped. Tyson was born when he was born. He started when he started. Not their faults, but that affects Larry Holmes. And he is clearly, I mean, you have to be a boxing aficionado to talk about Larry Holmes. You just do.
Yeah.
Like, no one's talking about this guy.
No. And again, all-time great fighter. This was just one fight. If you, you know, if you're someone who may, you know, if you're like, again, if you're someone who boxing may not be like something you really care about, go back and watch, again, that Larry Holmes, Ken Norton fight. One of the best fights of all time. You know, them dudes killing each other. You know, it's such a great fight. Like, such a great career. So many highlights. You know, again, we're going to keep saying it. It's a shame that he's not talked about. But again, you know, on this podcast, on this YouTube channel, Bigger Than the Game, that's what we do. We connect the past to the present. We look at guys' careers who should be talked about more and bring them to light here, not only on the podcast, but now on YouTube and our, you know, on Twitter, Instagram. Like, you know, we're constantly talking about these guys because, again, we know how great they were. And if you don't, we just want to let you know how.
So please like, subscribe, follow on you know, podcast form, but on YouTube, like and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Bigger Game Pod, and please, you know, give us feedback on this episode, but also what sport or what figure, what team you want us to talk about. We will take suggestions. I mean, we pick the episodes, but if you want to get involved, let us know because we'll hear what you want to want us to talk about as well, and we'll break it down better than anybody else out there. But you know, happy 40th to this fight, and I hope people, you know, think about it and think about that. You know, all these times where you think that sports was kind of that getaway and these things that we're talking about weren't really involved, do a little deep dive. Maybe do a little soul searching and be like, hey, maybe I was part of the machine. And, hey, we all get part of the machine at times. So it's not coming at you.
We are.
But it's just like, hey, maybe this has been going on for so long, and me to stop and think about it and stop and think about what's being fed to us and what the truth is. So I just encourage people to do that. But for the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Jose Ruiz, I'm Darami Dove. Thank you guys for watching and listening to Bigger Than the Game with Darami and Jose.
Peace.